Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, December 15, 2024, Romans.
All right, before we get started, next Sunday, the Christmas play, Cornelia. Cornelia. Well, see, now if you come earlier, you get a Christmas present. You come late, it's mine. No, they'll find you. Of course, they are practicing. You know, when I'm back here. Christmas play next Sunday. This is the time we have invitations out there in the foyer. In a little basket, if you want to give these out and invite people to come to the Christmas play next Sunday, take them and give them out. People in your neighborhood, friends, relatives, whomever, unbelievers that don't go to church. Well, this is one Sunday you can have them come to church and they will hear what Christmas is truly all about. And it's not Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So there, it's going to be an extravaganza next Sunday. Now also, there will also be some idiot will dress up in a Santa Claus outfit. But I want you to know, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is dead. But Jesus Christ is alive. And Christmas is all about Jesus Christ. So if you want to take these and hand them out to people and invite them to come to the Christmas play next Sunday, great. Also, the night before Christmas, Divine Viewpoint poem that Debbie wrote, we got more of them printed off. They're out there. Take as many as you want to give to people. Put them in your Christmas card. A lot of people put them in their Christmas cards. This is fantastic. Debbie did, of course. Is there anything that Debbie doesn't do great? I don't know. Take as many as you want, put them in your Christmas cards, hand them out, whatever. They're fantastic. So we printed off some more because we were getting down kind of low. So there we go. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that because of who and what you are, because of your magnificent plan of Operation Grace, we can have Christmas every single day. And we can have Thanksgiving every single day. We thank you, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you for the privilege this morning of fellowshipping in the Word. We ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, for those believers who are living according to their sin nature, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who are living according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, God and His Word. Verse 6, we've only exegeted half of it. The first half sounds like this. So then, the mindset controlled by the sin nature results in death. Carnal death, which if you stay long enough, results in the sin unto death. Now, we haven't exegeted the rest of the verse, but I'll give it to you. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, is life, spiritual life, resulting in peace, eirene. And that is a word that looks at blessing in its widest sense. Resulting in peace means resulting in blessing. God's plan for each one of us is so fantastic. It's a plan where He wants to give you blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. That's God's plan. That's peace. That's eirene. Resulting in peace. Resulting in blessings. All right. In verse 6, the key word in verse 6 is the word phronema. Phronema, P-H-R-O-N, long E-M-A, phronema. Now, this is the key word. It's only found four times in the New Testament Scriptures. All four times, it's used by the Apostle Paul. All four times, Paul uses phronema in Romans chapter 8. So there's only four times. Twice it's used in our verse, Romans 8, 6. Once it's used in Romans 8, 7. Once it's used in Romans 8, 27. This is the key word, phronema. And it means a way of thinking. It means a thought pattern. It means a mindset. In our verse, Romans 8, 6, it's used for two contrasting mindsets. The mindset of the sin nature, which is results in death, and the mindset of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, which results in life and peace. So then, the mindset of the sin nature is death, carnal death resulting in, if you stay in the cosmic system long enough, it will result in the sin unto death. For the justice of God, God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. And that means he's infinite virtue, infinite integrity, infinite honor, and our God is infinitely fair with all of us. Infinitely fair with all of us. Now, at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, we're described two ways. We're described as huios, H-U-I-O-S, and a huios is an adult son. Excuse me. I just reached puberty. That's great. Huios, huios. That's an adult son. And we are adult sons as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit takes us and enters us into union with Jesus Christ, and we are adult sons. And that being adult sons mean we are qualified for a fantastic inheritance because we are the adult son of God. So we're called the huios of God at the moment of salvation. And we're going to see when we get to down to Romans 8, verses 16 and 17, we're also called the technon. T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. And that means a child under growing up and being trained by his parents, mom and dad, a little child. So at the moment of salvation, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we are described as one, we are children of God, and two, we are adult sons of God. And because we are children of God and adult sons of God, because of that, we have an inheritance. We are the heirs of God, and not only the heirs of God, but the joint heirs with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And what that means is, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, again and again and again. So we then began studying in the Bible, the word death is used in seven different categories. We've studied three of these categories, and we're partway through the fourth category. Seven categories of death in the God-breathed scriptures. The first one we noted was spiritual death, category number one. Spiritual death occurs at the moment of physical birth. At the moment of physical birth, we come into the world physically alive, but in the status of spiritual death because of two imputations which occur at physical birth. Human life is imputed to the divinely prepared soul, physically alive. Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature, spiritually dead. Romans 5:12, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death, spiritual death, through that sin, so that spiritual death spread to all men, because all sinned when Adam sinned, spiritual death. Then we studied category number two, positional death. Positional death, which occurs at the moment of spiritual birth. So while spiritual death occurs at physical birth, positional death occurs at the new birth. Spiritual birth, regeneration. And positional death occurs through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. Through the baptism of the Spirit, the believer is identified with Christ in his death and burial, retroactive positional truth, and his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of God the Father, current positional truth. And we studied that in great detail in Romans chapter 6. Category number three, sexual death. This category of death is only used in relationship to Abraham and Sarah, as found in Romans 4:17-21 and Hebrews 11:11-12. And the fourth category, which we are partway through studying, is physical death. Now, we have two parts of our life here. We're not here very long. We're not here on this earth very long. We have a living phase of our life, and we have a dying phase of our life. And you have the privilege and the honor of glorifying the Lord in the living phase of your life, and you have the privilege of glorifying the Lord in the dying phase of your life. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you will do that. And when you reach spiritual maturity, you are qualified for something very, very fantastic. Undeserved suffering for blessing. Undeserved suffering for blessing. That only comes to the spiritually mature believer. And when you qualify for that, and God gives you the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing, that gives you the opportunity of glorifying God in undeserved suffering, just as you glorify God in prosperity. Undeserved suffering for blessing. And we have many people in this ministry that have attained spiritual maturity. And many of those have also qualified for wearing the mantle of undeserved suffering for blessing. And they have glorified God to the maximum. What I've tried to put this in something that I can identify with, and maybe it helps clear it up for you. I call it spiritual hurdling. When you have qualified to receive undeserved suffering for blessing, you are now qualified to run spiritual hurdles. Now, there is a precisely correct procedure, but you know it. The precisely correct procedure is God's problem-solving devices that you know, you've learned, you believe, they're out on the flat line of your soul, and you apply that precisely correct procedure and clear the hurdles of undeserved suffering for blessing and glorify God to the maximum as you go through that. And that is absolutely beautiful, absolutely fantastic to see. And I've seen it many times in this congregation, and our congregation is far, much farther than just the ones that are here for face-to-face. It's multitudes that are non-face-to-face that are getting all the classes. So physical death is defined as separation of the soul from the body so that that person no longer lives on planet Earth. For the believer, physical death is always God's victory. God gives the victory to all believers through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:55 to 57. Physical death cannot separate the believer from God, Romans 8:38 and 39. Physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based on his perfect knowledge of all the facts. God brought you into the world, and God has the perfect time for you to come home to be with him. And he has the perfect way, and it's different for each one of us. Now, I know a lot of Most of you think you know how I'm going to go to heaven. And that's why you don't want to ride with me when I'm driving, see? You think I'm going to run off the road and go to heaven. So when we go on hunting trips and all that, nobody wants to ride with me. And I may go that way, but I may fool you too. God will fool you. I don't know how God's going to take me home, but I know he's going to take me home. Unless the rapture occurs, and dadgummit, the rapture might be just around the corner. So physical death is a matter of the sovereign decision of God based on his perfect knowledge of all the facts. He's the omniscient, all-knowing God. And the believer who grows up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, who attains spiritual maturity, he has a special category of dying. It's called dying grace. Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The shepherd, Jesus Christ, you're with me. Occupation with Christ all the way through it. You have occupation with Christ. You share the happiness of God. It doesn't get any better than that. Jesus Christ goes right through that shadow of death with you. And you're in his hand. At the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you are in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, one hand, and you're in the hand of God the Father. And if you only have one hand, you're still God the Father will grab you by the nape of the neck, see? And you will never, ever get out of the hand of God. And you're in the hand of God in the living part of your life. You're in the hand of God in the dying phase of your life. So not to worry. Now, that's where we stopped last time. So let's start with sub-point 8. Physical death of the believer means, first of all, it means five things. First of all, you have no appointment with judgment. We learned that in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus, in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. So, physical death of the believer means no appointment with judgment. Romans 8, 1. It means, secondly, we will be face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a special prepositional phrase, pros plus the accusative. Pros plus the accusative. P-R-O-S. And this is what we have in 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. We are confident. We are confident, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and pros plus the accusative of kurios face to face with the Lord. Face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the second part of death for the believer. Absent from the body, face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, no more pain. Boy, I'm looking forward to that. Whew! Yeah! Of course, you know, you all know Deb and the hurdle she's been running here. And now she sees Dr. Ruggieroli every week. And she was in this last week, and they're going over all these things. And then he gets up and he starts limping. And Deb says, What's wrong with your knee? He says, I know I need to have something done with my knee. He says, I'm starting to walk like your husband. Now that's bad. That's bad right there. And I walk like that because it hurts, that's why. Everybody in here walks better than I do. You all walk better than I do. I know I need new knees, but then I probably need a brain too, but I need new knees. Well, I just feel it's more important for me to be back there studying and be up here teaching. And so it's pain. Big deal. Pain. So, but there will be no pain after physical death. Revelation 21 verse 4 puts it this way. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. No more pain. Boy, I underline that pain. No more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. End of pain. Fourth, an eternal inheritance. An eternal inheritance. Now we have this coming up in farther down in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we get to verses 16 and 17. Well, we are the heirs of God the Father and the joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we'll be seeing that when we get down there. And we'll get there. Well, again, and if the rapture occurs first, I'll teach this in heaven. So, an eternal inheritance. Turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. We are heirs of God the Father and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's Romans 8, 16 and 17. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. To obtain an inheritance, to obtain an inheritance that can never perish, never perish or spoil or fade, that is kept in heaven for you, an eternal inheritance. And fifth, you get a mansion. We get a new home, but it's a mansion. John 14. John 14. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. And he describes our mansion, what we all have waiting for us. John 14, verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, the Lord Jesus Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. John 14, 1 to 3. So physical death of the believer means no appointment with judgment, being face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, no more pain, an eternal inheritance, and a new home. 9. For the spiritually mature believer, for the winner believer, the spiritually mature believer, physical death is going to be profitable forever. You not only receive greater grace blessings in time as a spiritually mature believer, but you will have greater grace blessings awarded to you, crowns and rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. And those crowns and rewards and greater grace blessings will glorify God forever and ever and ever. Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 20. According to my intense concentration and confidence that I will in no way be ashamed. That's being ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. The winner believer is never ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ. However, the Bible does say that the loser believer, the one who makes bad decision after bad decision after bad decision and lives his life in the cosmic system, he will have shame at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, and then it's over. But there will be shame. As he stands before the Lord Jesus Christ, he will have shame at the judgment seat of Christ. But that's it. And then live with God forever in heaven. But the winner believer, that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life, the living phase of our life, or by death, the dying phase of our life. Verse 21, for to me, for the winner believer, to live is the Army-Navy game. No, I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. To live is Christ. And to die is profit. Gain. Ten. The only preparation for the believer's physical death is making those good decisions to live the spiritual life that God has given to us. God has graced us out with the most fantastic blessing, the spiritual life, and given to us in this dispensation blessings that never occurred in any other period of human history, but only in this dispensation because, well, the angelic conflict shifted gears. Now Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God the Father. In the Old Testament, Satan was attacking the line of Christ, and then at the first advent, he attacked Christ himself. But after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, that's over. Now he attacks the body of Christ, and we are the body of Christ. Now for the first time, he attacks every single one of us. He has tremendous strategies to make you a casualty in this invisible war. And this invisible war is 24/7, 365 days a year, nonstop. He has all these strategies, but God has graced us out. Fantastic grace provision. He's given us the armor of God. And he tells us, because of these strategies that Satan has to make you a casualty, he gives us an order. Put on the armor of God. And how do you put on the armor of God? Live the unique spiritual life of the church age, grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, and you're good to go. You will be a winner in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. So the only point 10, the only preparation for the believer's physical death is living the spiritual life that God has given to us, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. You have that. You're looking forward. You are looking forward to being absent from the body and face to face with the Lord. For you as a winner believer, for who have attained spiritual maturity, who have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you have personal love for God the Father. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. You share the happiness of God. And you will have that and share that all the way through the dying phase of your life. And it'll be wonderful. It'll be fantastic. It's a promotion. So you're not going to be afraid. No, you're not going to be afraid. No, you're not suicidal or anything like that. But when that moment comes, you're relaxed. You're sharing the happiness of God. You're occupied with Jesus Christ. You know He's holding your hand, and you know very quickly you're going to be face to face with your Lord and Savior. It's going to be the best of the best. It's going to be chocolate pie with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. That's what it's going to be. So relax and enjoy the ride. You know, Deb and I, we even talk about this. I said, you know, when we get we haven't been on a plane for a long time. We're on that plane. I said, now, let's say the engines go out and we start down. I said, there's going to be a lot of different things going on this plane in that trip down to Earth. There's going to be crying and screaming and all this stuff. And we can just sit there and go, Merry Christmas, everybody! And Happy Thanksgiving! And enjoy the ride. Just enjoy the ride. You're going to go down and then you're going to go up. And it can be absolutely fantastic. Well, that brings us to category number five. Category number five, the second death. And you said, oh no, I don't want a second one. Well, you're not going to have a second one. This is for unbelievers only. The second death. Second death is for unbelievers only. It is the final judgment of those who reject Christ as Savior. It is eternal separation from God, and it results in final judgment in the lake of fire. There's nothing about that that is great as far as when you look at people and unbelievers, and you're with around them all the time. I realize how real the lake of fire is, and it's eternal, eternal lake of fire. And I don't care what the kind of unbelievers these are, and what I don't care whether they're what their politics are or anything else. But the fact that I don't want to see anybody have to go through that forever and ever and ever. And so when God opens the door for me and gives me the opportunity to give the grace gospel, I do. I do. I don't know who's going to believe in Christ and who is not. But I have the good news that they need to hear. And I've given you know my illustrations better than I know them anymore. I've told them so many times. But at Washington State University, I'm not going to give you his name or anything. There was a fellow who had a lot of people that he was influencing. And at Washington State University, the football stadium was burned down. Everybody knew who was responsible for it. And I was at the CUB. A lot of universities call it the SUB, Student Union Building. When they call it the CUB, well, it's the Cougars. You got to have a CUB, not a SUB. And I was there for food, and the fellow right in front of me was the head of this group. And I, as soon as I realized who it was in front of me, I knew what God had done. God set this up. So I just tapped him. He says, yes. I said, do you mind if I talk to you about the most important person in my life? He said, no, that's okay. What? Who is it? I said, Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he went to a cross and paid the penalty for all of your sins once and for all. And if you simply believe in him, he will give you the gift of eternal life, and you will live with him forever and ever in heaven. Well, God the Holy Spirit was in charge of that whole thing. And God the Holy Spirit totally disarmed him. And he put his head down and he says, my mom tells me the exact same thing that you just told me. I said, you know what? You have a great mom. You have a great mom. Listen to her. And you know, God set this up. He set it up because he wanted you to hear it again. And this is a, your mom may have sown the seeds. Now I'm coming along and watering it. But it gives you another opportunity to place your faith in Jesus Christ. And you will have the gift of eternal life and live with him forever. And he wasn't in any way arrogant. He wasn't in any way mad. He wasn't in any way trying to tell me where to get off or anything. He listened to everything. And I could just tell God the Holy Spirit turned on the light and says, this is true, this is true, this is true. Now, I don't know if he believed in God. I never, after that, that's between him and the Lord. And I never push it after that. But I wouldn't be surprised if I see this individual in heaven. And you know, I've driven by accidents where the car exploded into flames. Exploded into flames. And it, one guy stopped, opened the door while it was in flame, reached in and pulled out this woman and pulled her out. She was going to be a crispy critter. That's what she was going to be. Pulled her out just before she burned to death. And when the police came, I was stopped there and they came up to me. They said, do you see this? I said, yes. I said, see that man right there? He saved that woman's life. He saved her life. She would have burned to death. He only had seconds. And he opened the door and pulled her out. And if he hadn't done that, she'd be dead. She'd have burned up. And the police said, I said, that guy deserves a medal. He was a hero. And I thought, what a way. Screaming, burning to death. Well, that's the way it is for every unbeliever. And you're a member of the royal family of God, you have a royal commission, you're a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's a great honor, it's a great privilege. And you, God, you're out and about and everything, and God will set up, because for you who are prepared, God will open the door. And you'll know when he opens the door and give the grace gospel. Okay. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back in about 15 minutes with part two.